The 2021 MLS season is upon us. It's time to break it all down on the Nashville SC Season Preview Show, hosted by Wes Bowling, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's Hani Mukhtar who steps forward. Hani Mukhtar! Oh my goodness! Fireball! A comet screaming from the foot of Hani Mukhtar! There is no goalkeeper in the galaxy that can stop that shot. And Nashville SC is messing with Texas.
After a historic and unprecedented debut season in 2020, we are just days away from Nashville SC entering its sophomore campaign in Major League Soccer. Welcome, everybody, to the Nashville SC preseason special on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Wes Bowling, Nashville SC radio analyst. And in the next hour, we're going to get you ready for kickoff between Nashville SC and FC Cincinnati. That's coming up Saturday, April 17th at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN 94.9. We are extremely excited to be bringing you the action on radio again this year. It's the fourth year of the club's existence and second in Major League Soccer. And what did they accomplish in that first year? Well, all they did was make the playoffs in the first season for only the sixth time for a first-year expansion club, and then get all the way to the conference semifinals, beating Toronto in the second round and knocking out fellow expansion club Inter Miami at home before that, and then eventually falling to the MLS Cup champion, Columbus Crew. It was an unforgettable year, but for Nashville SC, it was only the beginning, and aspirations are high in their second season. Later on in this show, we will hear from Coach Gary Smith, and we'll hear from General Manager Mike Jacobs. But up first, let's talk with John Freeman. He's been there for every major moment in Nashville SC history as the play-by-play commentator, first for TV in the USL Championship era, and then alongside me in the booth for MLS matches. We talked with him to set the stage for what this season's going to mean. Here is our conversation with Nashville SC play-by-play broadcaster John Freeman. It almost feels like we've not had an off-season. It's just been a break between broadcasts, and now we're back. Glad to be back with you in the booth again this year.
Oh, man, 31 games, just you and I together. So I'm hyped, as always, am Wes, and hopefully you won't get too sick of me by the time November rolls around and it is decision day. But always thankful to be on the broadcast. It's something we've had a part of at some point separately and now together as this club grows. So another season on the horizon means another, 7 months to look forward to of soccer here in Nashville.
Can't wait, partner. You've been a part of so many iconic moments, not just last year, but throughout the history of this club. You were the original TV play-by-play guy for USL Championship play. You and I have both tracked this club's trajectory over the last three and now into its fourth year. I wonder, what was your highlight of the MLS debut season? What was the high point for you last year?
Yeah, it's funny you talk about that history of how I've been around the club, and this club's always had a DNA to it. Like, even going back, the first game I ever broadcast for Nashville SC wasn't actually USL. It was radio of the U23 team year before the USL. And it was some like bonkers 3-3 game where all these college kids wearing Nashville SC colors like fought back to tie this game. So I've seen the progress of this club, as we all have in Nashville. But still, there's always been this underlying grit, tenacity, resilience to this club, no matter what level it's played at. And if you look back at last season, and if you're asking me for the highlights of the year, clearly the opener is something that we'll all remember for the rest of our lives. But you think about those games down the stretch, and the last taste of a broadcast that we got together was the final game of the regular season, and having watched Nashville come back against Orlando and win in a place that no one had won all season long, and to do it against an Orlando team that has some household names on it, Nani, Daryl DK, who's now lighting up the English Championship and could be worth $10-20 million dollars, in a few months if he gets sold. To see Nashville do what they did against that Orlando team, and for us to be so invested emotionally in it on the broadcast, that would be my highlight. And then obviously just our time to broadcast the games passed once the regular season was over, but watching those playoff games, I can tell you it's it's much less enjoyable and stressful watching the games as a fan. When you're broadcasting, as you know, it's you're a little more locked in and not so vulnerable when you watch the games. So yeah, lots of high points.
Yeah.
And a great inaugural season to look back in.
We rose and fell with the fortunes of the team, no doubt, and it was mostly rising. I wonder what your answer is to the key to repeating, to growing, what this team did last year. It was, for many, unexpected. And I don't think if you asked Mike Jacobs or Gary Smith, they would say it was shocking to them what the team did, making it to the conference semifinals. But certainly to the ecosystem around them and in MLS, it was a surprise. And so in year two, the playbook's thrown out, really, for what this club can accomplish. How do they repeat what they did last year and continue to grow in line with that DNA, in line with that identity that you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody would say that playoffs, really, anything less than that would be a disappointment. And every team in Major League Soccer can say that. It's such an even league. Yeah, we've got some teams that are really exceptional at the top, but for the most part, you have a lot of teams that on any given year, with a few new key cogs or get a hot run, can make their way all the way to the playoffs and then beyond. And we saw that last year with Nashville. We saw it with Columbus. So if you're asking, you know, what we want to see in setting our expectations for this team, I think everybody that's around the club has gone on record saying, like, hey, if we can get into the playoffs again, knowing that that's an accomplishment in itself, since the playoff field is shortened down to seven teams in each conference this year. Once we get there, we like our guys. We like our style. And Nashville SC is a tough out.
The biggest reason to me that this is a great playoff team and a team that's always going to be in games is, of course, that vaunted back line. Had the most clean sheets in Major League Soccer last year, third fewest goals allowed. John, all of those four starters plus Joe Willis are back, and that has to be a major source of confidence for this club.
It does, and I think the back line almost gets a little too much credit. And I don't mean that to knock down Dave Romney and Walker Zimmerman and Dan Lovitz and Alistair Johnston and all the other cogs that plug in there from time to time. But this is a fully committed team effort. So, yes, that back line and Joe Willis is arguably the best in the league. But then you've got two of some of the best gatekeepers in entire Major League Soccer. You throw in industrial players, team first guys like Alex Muehl. It all forms together to produce this staunch back line, hard to score on, stubborn team of defiance. And I think when you label it just as the back line, it would be overlooking a lot of the contributions of the team, their fitness level, the other players that contribute to this, the coaching staff and their organization. And I know it's cliche to say it's a team effort, but in this case, you know, Nashville's strength really does build from the back and move forward.
You talk about the central midfield not getting enough credit. The attack would certainly fall in that category as well. The final third of the season, that group was among the MLS leaders in goals, but a lot of pundits had already pigeonholed this group as a defensive group, right? A group that was going to, quote, park the bus, which you and I know was definitely not true. There were tons of back and forth matches late in the year. They put up three in Houston. They put up three on Dallas at home, three on Inter Miami in the playoffs, and of course had the front foot for the majority of the Toronto match as well that they ended up winning in extra time. That group came along last year and really does look to build on the momentum that it established toward the end of last season.
I think it's so funny. The critique that we have in American soccer culture is so interesting. There's a lot of pressure to play high-flying, vulnerable, attacking soccer. That is highly viewed amongst a lot of the critics. At some point, you have to be practical. And I think Nashville is a practical team. That doesn't mean they don't attack or they only defend, but this team is built to get results. This is a flexible team, and that's good. That's okay. That should be celebrated. So to those critics, to pinhole Nashville into one style, I don't think is very fair. When you look at the stats, you look at the possession, you look at the passes, you look at attacking positions, you look at scoring chances, there's a lot of games where those numbers don't align with any sort of narrative of Nashville is committed to being a defensive team. We saw it click at the end of the year. We really did. When you've got players like Hani Mukhtar healthy, combining with Randall Leal, Jonder Cadiz and Daniel Rios in form and healthy and fit, we really saw what the vision was on the attacking end of the field, and it looked real good. So there's no reason to think going into this season that it should take them very long to get their wheels screeching in the way that they were in the playoffs.
And those wheels will need to get screeching early. The schedule extremely favorable for this group. They open with four straight at home. Those first three matches are against teams they were ahead of in the standings last year. 10 of the first 13 matches, John, are at Nissan Stadium. The flip side of that, of course, is the vast majority of the final matches are away from home. So this club really has the onus on it to get some points early when it's playing those early home matches.
Yeah, onus is almost an understatement, Wes. It's like pressure is a word that I would use. Borderline requirement to get those points early. So I'm just looking at the schedule. The season starts, as we all know, on Saturday, April 17th, so mid-April. By the time August rolls around, Nashville FC will have played four away games.
Wow.
A ton of home games stuck in there. It's nice to get in all these home games and playing in front of your supporters. However, there's a ton of pressure because if this club doesn't accumulate the points that it needs at home, it hits that back half of the schedule. And then you're looking at some massive road runs where you're going on a road trip to Toronto, 3 days later at New England, 4 days later in the heat in August in Miami. Those are some tough road games. So, yeah, there's a luxury of playing at home to start, and maybe you get that lift that you need to jumpstart a team early in its season. But there's also an incredible pressure on this team to hit form early and rack up those wins at home, because we look at the data. Soccer's a really, really hard sport to win on the road. Optimistically, you know, you'd like to think that they come flying out of the gates, backed by their supporters, feeling good in Nashville in these first 4 months, and have a nice little pillow of points heading into the road half of the season.
Whether the match is home or away, it will be available on ESPN 94.9. I can't wait to be in the booth again with you this year. And I want to ask you as a final question, something that we talk about on almost a daily basis. What do you strive to bring to listeners in the radio booth? And why will people be glad they tuned in to our radio calls this season?
In the end, if you listen to our radio broadcast, I hope that you get a sense of our passion for the club, for the city, and our ability to put everything that's happening in context. It's really cliche to say, you know, we tell the story of the club. But I do feel like as two locals, as we are, and people who've been around the club, that that is one of the things that we are caretakers of. The development of this club and what it means for every individual player, every coach, every fan, every broadcaster, every person in the front office. We all have these stories that have led us to these games, to this club, to this city, and being able to piece them all together and say it in hopefully an eloquent way is the simple goal. So it's something I look forward to every time. I mean, I just get chilled. I'm talking about it right now, and it's like, man, just that feeling where you walk into Nissan Stadium and you see the white lines on the field. And we get there before they even put the goals up. But you see the white lines on the field. And to me, man, there's still disbelief about it. It gets me excited every time. Like, that's a soccer field right next to downtown Nashville in our stadium. Like, we get to do this. So I hope we also just communicate that giddiness and excitement as well.
Well, thank you, John. You have been the mouthpiece of moments throughout this club's history. You've been there for every single one of them, and we can't wait to see what moments lie ahead this season on ESPN 94.9. Thank you so much for joining me today, and can't wait to be in the booth with you Saturday.
Fired up, man. Can't wait.
You simply won't find anybody more passionate about this club or more knowledgeable about this club than John. Appreciate the chance to catch up with him. He and I have been working closely together to put together a radio product that's going to make fans proud this season, and we certainly hope you'll tune in for matches on ESPN 94.9 all season long. Up next, another voice you're going to want to hear from. We've got Mike Jacobs on the line. He's the general manager of this club. He received an extension in the offseason, as did his manager, Gary Smith. That news came out today. Why does Jacobs think this club has growing potential for year two? How did he construct the roster with that growth in mind? And what does he think the challenges are going to be to face this group? We had a deep conversation with him. We'll hear from him. And then in the next segment, Gary Smith himself will be right back on the Nashville SC preseason special right here on 102.5 The Game.
Mukhtar steps forward and delivers. It's hooked in and headed in. Delirium. It's Yonder Cadiz. Staggering. All in. Every last ounce of gold. Every one of them. They will bury themselves for our city. Believe in this club. Believe in Nashville SC. 3-2 in the 94th minutes. Extraordinary.
Welcome back to the Nashville SC preseason special on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Wes Bowling with you, radio analyst for Nashville Soccer Club, as we continue to prepare you for kickoff 7:30 p.m. Saturday night at Nissan Stadium between Nashville SC and FC Cincinnati. What will success look like in 2021? It's a fair question to ask because in year one, Nashville SC broke the mold for a first-year Major League Soccer team. They were only the sixth ever first-year expansion club to qualify for the MLS Cup playoffs, and they did so while spending a lot less money than some other clubs who had accomplished that feat, such as LAFC and Atlanta United. The result, then, a roster that didn't necessarily need heavy turnover leading into Nashville SC's sophomore season, but creates some challenges nonetheless. Less for Nashville SC general manager Mike Jacobs. The challenge not so much to bring in players who were going to transform the attack or certainly a defense that had the most clean sheets in MLS, but instead players who would supplement the existing talent already on the roster and provide depth for what's going to be a busy season with the potential for U.S. Open Cup if Nashville SC is among the top eight U.S.-based teams in their first three matches and the reality of World Cup qualifying. Several other international breaks as well for Nations League, for Copa America, for Gold Cup. It's going to be a tough year to manage a roster, and we sat down recently with Mike Jacobs to ask him how he did it and about some of the players that he brought in for year two, and then finally asked him what we just asked you guys. How does he define success for this club in year two? Enjoy. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. I wonder what your emotions will be like here in just a few days when the team that you built for year two finally takes the pitch in a competitive match.
It seems like it was not that long ago that we were playing in Columbus. So I think to be able to turn around, albeit with some delays here, at the start of our season, to know that we've got such a strong nucleus of guys coming back, you know, from that playoff chase last year, I think it's exciting to see these guys get back on the field and play, you know, a full season, God forbid.
Yeah, full season. That's nice, isn't it? That's refreshing. Knock on wood there. You mentioned the playoff chase. This team, by pretty much any measure, exceeded expectations in year one, at least external expectations. I know you guys had every bit of belief that this group was going to be good, but for many, it seems to have accelerated the timeline of what this club was capable of doing. So then how do you define success in year two? How do you, as the club says, keep building on what this team has already established?
We talk a lot internally about the definitions and the differences between maybe aspirations and objectives. And the reality is, I mean, every team and every player and every coach in any sport, you know, aspires to win everything. You know, my guess is if you asked Baylor and Gonzaga's basketball coaches before the NCAA tournament, their goal was to win the tournament. You know, for us, you know, it'd be unfair to our fans, but also to our players and staff if we didn't say, you know, that we aspire to win MLS Cup. You know, but I think it's kind of an empty goal from the standpoint that every team has that same aspiration. For us, I mean, I think we have objectives that are pretty clear for us to keep trying to improve and get better. And you know, does that mean make the playoffs again? Does that mean make a playoff run? You know, the reality is, you know, we could score more goals this year and not make the playoffs. We could get more points and more points per game and not make the playoffs. So I think for us, realistically, if we are hovering around the line, you know, whether it's above it or below it, you know, get toward crunch time, you know, if we're competing for a playoff spot, it, you know, then we're in a situation where, you know, we can get into MLS's version of Russian roulette, because once you get in the playoffs, you know, it's a one-off, but you know, anything goes.
You didn't overhaul this team in the offseason, nor would you have any reason to, given the success that they experienced in year one. And yet you have assets like allocation dollars that will go away if you don't use them. So how do you balance the temptation to hoard that money and use it in the right place with the desire to keep the chemistry intact that you already have, when you know that you don't necessarily need to go out and get 3, 4, 5 new TAM players to make this team what it needs to be?
I think the leadership of our club has a pretty cool poker face when it comes to the idea of being patient with our plan, understanding and appreciating the fact that where it was an exciting first season, you know, as strange an expansion year as probably any team in any sport in history, when you think about, you know, multiple tornadoes and a global pandemic, you know, but the reality is, man, I think we're still trying to figure out who we are and what we have here. And, you know, we like the fact that we're building, you know, this team that we have a lot of confidence in, but to your point about, you know, keeping kind of like, you know, our feet firmly on the ground, you know, we're still trying to evaluate this group. And, you know, even when you think about, you know, the last month of the season, once we had Yonder join us and, you know, you saw this uptick in goals and goals per game, you know, the reality is even guys like Yonder Cadiz and Anhanwala Bawana, you know, still are really like new players for us. You know, those are players any other year, they wouldn't even played last year because the window had been closed.
Another new addition, Rodrigo Pinheiro, comes in, a young wing from Uruguay. Probably the most noteworthy addition to this club, at least from an outside perspective. What can fans expect to see from him in terms of style of play? What does he bring to the table?
Well, first for us with Rodrigo, I mean, we obviously want to kind of temper expectations. And as exciting a first year maybe as Randall Leal had last year, it's important understanding that Randall was 2-3 years older than Rodrigo is. And, you know, Rodrigo, I think, has got bags of potential. But, you know, potential also means like not there yet, you know. So we think he's got a high ceiling. We're excited about his future, but we're also trying to temper expectations about how much he can contribute right away. It's kind of on him. But, you know, what I can say is, I mean, we're super excited about the fact that, you know, he's a very different type player that we have on our roster from last year, from the standpoint that, you know, Rodrigo is really like an out-and-out winger. You know, he's got direct play. He's got the pace to threaten to get in behind defenses. And he's a little different to our other wingers. And when you look at the pedigree he has, coming out of the youth academy at Peñarol that produced MLS standouts like Diego Rossi and Brian Rodriguez, when you think about what he's already done in a top league in Uruguay, you know, I think the things that Rodrigo does, his ability to create and finish scoring chances, I think that'll translate in MLS.
The starting 11 may look relatively similar to fans in year two, at least early on, but a lot of the work that you did to build this roster came on the depth side of things, and bringing in guys like Buana late last season and Nick Hines and Pinheiro and guys who are going to compete for those spots and can step up in a pinch. And the pinch is coming, with international break hitting several times between Nations League and Gold Cup and World Cup qualifying, and then a chance early on this season to qualify for U.S. Open Cup if the team performs well in its first three matches. How do you expect that depth to play out? How do you balance the hope of winning as many as you can and having a consistent starting 11 with knowing you're going to have to rely on that depth several times this year?
Every good team wants to be in a situation where maybe they're two players deep in each role in the field. And, you know, whether we're there or not, we're going to find out pretty soon, because, you know, it's almost like, you know, that scene in the major league, you know, when you think about, you know, the owner who was doing things, you know, to try to hamper their team's chances of success. And you think about what we had to go through in year one, you know, now to have thrown at us in year two, not only a flat salary cap going into this year, where our cap stays the same, but player salaries go up. But, you know, you also have this international duty that, you know, for the, maybe the first time in any time in history, to have not only World Cup qualifying, but to have the Euros, Copa America, Gold Cup, Olympic qualifying, like all going on in the same calendar year. And I think it's great for soccer fans, which has to watch probably more international soccer than any time ever. But, you know, the fact that you'll have some really good players who'll be called away to international duty, it'll hit us as much as anybody else. And it's kind of a forcing riches in some ways, because, you know, if you have players being selected by their countries, obviously good players. Now, my guess is if it didn't affect us, that'd probably be a greater problem, because that mean our players weren't worthy to represent their country. And, you know, maybe you do have players like Anibal Godoy or Randall Leal or Walker Zimmerman get called in by their country. But then it has this figurative and literal next man up type situation where there's some good players we have here who are chomping a bit for an opportunity to prove themselves.
Last question for you, zooming in a bit more on U.S. Open Cup. There are early stakes for these first three matches, as the top eight teams in Major League Soccer that are, of course, U.S.-based will be eligible for that tournament. The schedule breaks pretty well, judging by last year's results. You play three teams that you've finished ahead of in the standings last season. Is that an opportunity the club is really interested in pursuing? I know you want to win every match, and you know, you'll say you want to certainly perform well, but is there extra interest given the way that the schedule breaks early on this year?
Well, as far as U.S. Open Cup, you know, some clubs might look at it as a burden because of the extra games placed on your schedule. I can tell you absolutely for our club, you know, we're all about trying to pursue cups and pursue championships. So, you know, I know for sure we're going to try to do as much as we can to advance in a situation where we can, you know, secure one of those spots. And, you know, the reality is, think about like, you know, we've talked in the past about using analytics kind of like card counters in a casino. Knowing only eight MLS teams will advance, knowing that you enter in the quarterfinals, there's never been a better chance to win Open Cup than this year for any MLS team. You know, knowing that really it's a 1-in-8 chance when you first come into this event rather than the earlier stages. So for us, I mean, as far as our competition or our schedule, I'm still waiting for the easy MLS game. So I've been doing this a little while. So, you know, I don't know that any of those games are going to be any easier or harder than any other ones. But certainly the benefit of having a positive start to our season, you know, coming out in the front foot and, you know, earning qualification U.S. Open Cup would be a great treat for this group.
Great insight. Any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Look, we're happy for the season to get going. And I think, you know, this group's only kind of scratched the surface what they're capable of.
Nashville SC General Manager Mike Jacobs, thank you so much for your time today and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Wes.
It's always great to catch up with Mike. We appreciate his candor and, as always, his time. It was funny. I was recently asking him how his off-season went, and he laughed. He said, "What off-season? We don't get that." He said, "Now's the rewarding part, to sit back and to watch the team that he has put together on the pitch." And that team will compete for the first time in a competitive contest against FC Cincinnati at 7:30 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 94.9. We can't wait to bring you the action. And up next, we'll talk a little more about the early challenges that this team will face, including an old USL championship rival. That's right, FC Cincinnati, opening the season. What needs to happen for Nashville SC to take home 3 points in its all-important season opener? We'll have that next on the Nashville SC preseason special. This is Nashville SC Soccer on 102.5 The Game. New England with it in possession here. Jones toward the left side of the field from the middle, forward for Bo, who thought about playing the one-touch pass. Instead plays a square ball for McNamara, back forward for Bo. Bo taps it, saves somehow Willis. He stretched out the left arm and slapped it away. Bo was ready to celebrate, and Willis said, "No thank you, sir."
The heroics of Joe Willis were a common theme for Nashville SC last season. He led Major League Soccer in clean sheets for a keeper with 9, and Nashville's back line led Major League Soccer in that category as well. Welcome back to the Nashville SC preseason special on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Nashville SC radio analyst Wes Bowling. We're talking now about the challenge directly ahead of Nashville SC, the season opener against FC Cincinnati, and Nashville SC might need that back line against a Cincy team that is upgraded its infamously poor attack from a year ago. Yes, FCC only scored 12 goals last season, easily the worst in MLS, but they've upgraded with a couple of key pieces. Central midfielder Luca Acosta, formerly of DC United, who made waves with Wayne Rooney in Washington, D.C. in 2019, and a Brazilian striker named Brenner. Yes, the classic one-name Brazilian approach. Brenner coming in from Sao Paulo, as Cincy has high expectations for its attack. But they'll be facing a Nashville SC back line, and indeed a Nashville SC starting 11 that will be largely unchanged from last season. As we discussed with Mike Jacobs in the last segment, this team didn't need an overhaul, and Coach Gary Smith is eager to watch his players build on the momentum that they established last year, especially because of the minimal changes to the roster in the offseason. We caught up with Gary to talk about
his team's outlook this season, and his outlook for the opening match. Enjoy our conversation with Nashville SC coach Gary Smith.
Gary, when we spoke this time last year, you had a group that you liked but was unproven in terms of playing together. This year, you have a group that is cohesive, a lot of returners from last season. How different is the lead up to the first match this year than it was last?
As you would well imagine, there's a different feel about the group. There's a confidence that only comes from being together and doing well, especially in an inaugural season. And the real visual this preseason has been of relationships that have really blossomed, bright, purposeful, and very, very positive. And I think the guys went away from last year, and whilst most people might think that they would have been happy with the season and delighted in the way that it ended up, there was a lot of disappointment in the way that the season ended, and they truly felt as though they'd been shortchanged, and that they've gone about their work in a very professional manner to, I think, improve upon that and fulfill what they're capable of.
This group is no stranger to adversity. You faced plenty of it last year with COVID-19 cancellations and all kinds of other things, even beyond what the rest of the league experienced. You had a bit of adversity down in Florida as well, having 3 preseason friendlies canceled, all of them against MLS clubs. How have you sought to overcome that setback? And do you feel this group gained some resiliency last year that helped in that situation?
I think to your point, Wes, the experiences of last year have served us incredibly well. And this group is not only very genuine and is full of character, I think they draw on those experiences now and it just makes them stronger. It's disappointing that we were unable to meet any MLS opponents. But, you know, I have to say the workload, the attitude and the general well-being of the players is in a good place. And we not only look forward to the game against Cincinnati, but we're looking forward to getting off on a good note in front of our own fans, which will be, a real change from last year other than the opening fixture. So it's an exciting time and the players are ready for it. And I don't think they could be more ready.
Well, let's talk about Saturday's match then. It's a Cincy team that has seen hard times in the last couple of years, but in the offseason added some pieces and seems to be very ambitious about recovering from the setbacks they faced in the past couple of seasons. What do you see from them that you think will present your team with challenges?
Well, I think there's 2 main things that will lead Cincinnati to a much, much tougher challenge than maybe people expect. I think their record over the last 2 years should be completely disregarded. Yap Stam's ability in the off-season, number one, to really put his mark on this group, work with the team in a much more intense fashion, I'm sure will be noticed. And secondly, the investment that they've put into that group. It would seem that on and off the field, there's a real push and a momentum shift to try and get this group moving in the direction that they truly expected. So make no mistake, this will be a tough, tough game. Every team in the opening fixture believes that it's their season for the championship. And, you know, it's our job to immediately, put a doubt in their mind that this will be their season and that we're off and running.
I would imagine you have to be delighted with the opportunity to start the season with an extended homestand and to build the relationship with the supporters at 1/3 capacity to start the year. What do you want them to see out of your team Saturday?
I'm hoping that they come with the sort of confidence that, you know, the season will have brought from last year and a pride in the way that the players had conducted themselves and what they'd achieved. But, you know, I truly hope and believe that this team will come out of the traps with, you know, a real energy and a real passion. Number one, of course, to put points on the ball, but number two, to excite a home crowd that they've only experienced once. You know, that inaugural game against Atlanta, you know, is still firmly imprinted in everyone's mind. And although, as you've just said, it will be at 1/3 capacity, we've had a few fans in the stand towards the end of last year, and they're more than capable of getting behind the group, and really creating a an atmosphere that is conducive for us to perform. And that's my big hope, that we can start off well, that everyone's energy and belief in the side is renewed. And, we look forward to an exciting season.
Mike Jacobs told us that there's a difference for him between the aspirations this club has and the objectives. The aspiration for this club and for every club is to win MLS Cup and to win every time you set foot on the pitch. But beyond that, there are objectives. There are benchmarks that point to this club's growth in year two and will really define success. What are those objectives for you? What will you need to see from this team, not just early on, but throughout the season, to show that the team continues to keep building in the direction you want it to go?
Well, I think it's easy for a lot of people to see the competitive nature of the group and some of the statistics that we put up last year as a defensive group. That consistency is very, very important to any success. But maybe shifting the balance even slightly into an area where we have to improve going forward. We want to score more goals. We've created more competition in attacking areas. That competition in itself leads to individuals really stretching their game and putting themselves maybe in a position that they hadn't considered before to keep the shirt. And to that degree, I truly hope that what I'm seeing in pre-season will be, a reflection of what the fans see on Saturday, which is a really bright, positive, energetic, enthusiastic, and obviously productive group that get off on a good footing.
Gary, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck on the field Saturday.
Thanks, Wes.
There is little doubt that this is a coaching staff and a team that are teeming with optimism about their prospects for year two of the MLS experience. When we come back, some breaking news came out today about Nashville SC. We'll bring it to you and close things out on the Nashville SC preseason special as we get ready for Nashville versus FC Cincinnati at 7:30 p.m. Saturday night on ESPN 94.9. Stay with us.
Gary Smith waiting for the whistle, and there it is! There it is! This is brilliant! This is sensational. This is Nashville SC dumping Toronto out of the playoffs in a historic victory at Rentschler Field. Final score, Toronto SC 0, Nashville SC 1. Wow.
Welcome back to the final segment of our Nashville SC preseason special on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Nashville SC radio analyst Wes Bowling, bringing you home with some big news that broke today. Nashville SC manager Gary Smith has received a contract extension that will keep him under contract through 2023. Gary won or drew 73% of his matches in all competitions in his 3 years in either the USL Championship or this past year in MLS. Of course, he took the club to the playoffs last year, but also each of his first 3 years. And here's an interesting stat. He's yet to lose a match by more than 2 goals in the 103 matches he has managed in Music City. Smith is the only manager to lead Nashville SC in its history. Again, he's under contract now for 3 more seasons. And in the final segment of this Nashville SC preseason special, let's hear from the key decision makers who spoke today about that contract extension, and then from Gary himself. Why did the club provide this show of faith to the gaffer, and how does he hope to continue growing the club into the future? We'll start with CEO Ian Ayer, who likes that Gary laughs at his jokes, but more importantly says he has full faith that Smith has the traits necessary to build on a successful first year in MLS.
An easy decision on many levels for me, but a fantastic one for us and all of us and our club. As we go into a brand new team and our first season, I think we're all blown away. There's an old phrase, when you're getting reviewed by a boss, when you exceed expectations. And I think Gary ticked that in so many ways. We overachieved our objectives on the field, I would say. We overachieved in so many areas. And, he was such a key part in that. When you see different assets of any individual, whether it's a player or in this case, the coach, you want to see assets and skills and abilities that really fill you with promise of the idea that you've got the right people. And that, you know, we saw that in so many different areas for Gary, and it's rewarded with a new contract, which is hugely deserving.
General Manager Mike Jacobs was the other main front office executive who signed off on the decision. In fact, he received his own extension earlier this offseason due to that same positive progress this club is making. We heard from Jacobs earlier in the show in our one-on-one discussion, and today in a press conference, he preached the same message that he told us in our conversation with him, the importance of continuity and trust. It's a philosophy that has characterized the club's approach to building a roster and also to building a staff along the touchline.
As we looked around at candidates for Gary's role, it was very clear very quickly that Gary was somebody who understood how to find success in this league, understood the American player and how to relate to them, but also was very humble as far as how he would lean on players, his support staff, how he'd collaborate. And for us, we just thought he was not only the ideal person to lead us through this expansion season, but as we got going further and further into this year and starting to fall into uncharted territory, when you think of the success this team had historically, for us, you know, Gary was someone that we saw that we can build our club around on and off the field. Having that level of cohesion on the field is only enhanced when you have that off the field. That level of continuity, that level of cohesion, it allows for a level of comfort and not complacency. It's the opposite. I think it's a level of sustainability that, you know, there's certain things that you can expect, whether that's how our team is going to play, you know, qualities we're going to embody on the field, to as much as how players are going to be treated. And the best way to get other players to come to your team or to your city is for your current players to be happy. And for our players to be as comfortable with the system we play, not only does it have us build success in our team in the present, but it gives us the potential to sustain success going forward.
How about the gaffer himself? You learned earlier in the show that Gary has high expectations for the club's growth in its sophomore campaign. And today he talked about that ambition. Rather than engaging in too much celebration, he spoke of the expectations that this puts on him and on this club in year two and beyond.
If you're looking further afield than the next week or the next month in front of yourself or the group and the necessities for the team, then I think you're not quite got the right mindset. This is a pressurized situation. I think every coach knows that you're normally only a couple of results away from being under a little bit of pressure. But what I would say is, to Mike's point, there's been some wonderful continuity here, both on and off the field. I think everybody has seen great success and development from that. And I do certainly feel as though we're moving in the right direction.
So as you can hear, Gary Smith's focus isn't on 2023. It's on April 17th. That's when the newly extended manager and his club open year two against FC Cincinnati. John Freeman and I will bring you the call on 102.5 The Game, kickoff at 7:30 p.m., and a limited number of tickets remain available. We've taken you in depth in this hour discussing the expectations this club has for its sophomore campaign in Major League Soccer. But just to recap a little bit, Nashville SC went to the conference semifinals in its first season in Major League Soccer after becoming just the sixth first-year expansion club to even make the playoffs. This year, they bring back a roster with not very much turnover. In fact, the starting 11 that we are likely to see Saturday night could consist entirely of players who were on the roster a year ago. So expectations are to continue growing. And the source of that growth has to be the attack. I think most people around the club expect the defense to continue to be rock solid. They tied for the Major League Soccer lead in clean sheets last season. So growth then comes from what Nashville SC is able to do in front of goal. In their final eight games, only one club in the Eastern Conference scored more goals than Nashville. But the key to succeeding will be to put the ball in the net early and often instead of waiting toward the latter part of the year. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Nashville SC preseason special. We are so excited to be bringing you another year of Major League Soccer here on the Game Network. 94.9 is the flagship station for Nashville SC this year. Play-by-play commentator John Freeman and I will bring you all the action. 34 games scheduled for this year as Nashville SC looks to duplicate its success from last year and maybe even take things a step further. Our first broadcast will be Saturday night on ESPN 94.9, 7 10:30 p.m., Nashville SC and FC Cincinnati. Until then, so long. We'll talk to you then.
Dan Lovitz touches it off an Orlando player, and there's the final whistle. Incredible! Nashville SC is storming into the playoffs. Here they come. Gold shirts, blue collars, Tennessee grits. The only explanation tonight. It is in the soul of this club, and this club wants to know who's next.